to Marksmen, a program dedicated to men who have been marked by Christ and who are aiming their lives at Christ likeness. My name is Mark Spellman, and I'm glad you're part of the program today. I'd like to begin with Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 as we begin our discussion today. And it reads, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Marksmen, again, is a program, a conversation for men who are aiming their lives at Christ likeness, and I'm glad you're a part of the program today. And of course, that is our foundational text for all of these programs. And from time to time, we're going to have guests coming on this program, and I hope you enjoyed the last guest we had on, Pastor Darren Sturtz from That Church in Clinton, Iowa. I really enjoyed that conversation and his testimony, and I pray that it was a blessing to you, and I look forward to bringing you more guests as we go through this time together. But again, just like iron sharpens iron, let's get into the Word. Let's let the Holy Spirit work with us and work deep in our hearts, because it's so important. I love what Pastor Darren said in that conversation we had, that God had spoke to his heart that if you can reach the men, you can reach the home. Well, that fits and flows exactly with what God has spoken to us. And he said, if you heal the home, you're going to heal the land. But there's something so important about men in their homes. And I understand that in our culture today, a lot of homes, a lot of families have a lot of different dynamics and a lot of different chemistry, so to speak, as far as how families are doing life and what family even looks like. But here's the good news. No matter what our families look like, no matter what our marriage looks like, no matter what our life looks like, God is a redeemer. One of my favorite verses, in fact, for me, just as a believer, a child of God, as a man, one of my life verses is Proverbs 29, and it's verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish and cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." Now, in the Amplified of that, it says, "Where there is no vision," and here's what the Amplified brings out about vision. It says, "Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, people perish." And that's so important, that we see God as a redeemer, that God has a redemptive purpose. God has a redemptive plan. And no matter how bad our life gets, or how convoluted, complicated, twisted it gets, God has a plan. God has a way to redeem it. God has a way to bring forth beauty from ashes. God has a way to take dry bones and raise up an army. God has a way in a Red Sea to open it up so that we march through on dry land. These miracles of the Bible are not fairy tales. The power of God is real. And I just feel right now, even as I'm ministering this to you and having this conversation with you, I just sense the anointing of God, that many times we as men, we need miracles. We need miracles in our finances. We need miracles physically. We need miracles in relationships. We need miracles with our children and with our siblings. We need miracles in our home. We need miracles in our career and our vocation. God is a God of miracles, and God is a God of redemption. And God can take our pain, and he can bring forth such glorious, glorious testimony of his goodness. I'm halfway chuckling because I'm thinking about it as I'm talking. I heard one person share one time, he said, if you're ever driving down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, you know one thing, that turtle had some help. That turtle did not get on that fence post all by himself. If that turtle's sitting up on that fence post, that means somebody picked that turtle up and set it on that fence post. Well, that's what I want my life to be. I want my life to have such evidence of God's touch on my heart, God's touch on my career, my vocation, my calling, God's touch on my marriage, God's touch on my fathering, that clearly I had some help. In other words, God's going to get the glory, and he deserves the glory because he is the Father of fathers. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords, and he is the Father of all spirits. And so as fathers, as men, we can learn from him, and we can have grace to receive a redemptive revelation of God, that no matter how complicated our life gets, no matter how difficult relationships get, God has a plan to work redemption. And no matter how goofy sometimes family dynamic or drama gets, you know, God has a way to bring forth glory unto his name. So I started with Philippians 3. I love the intro to that. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." You know, coming to you, I come with complete humility. You know, I've learned some things, but I've not learned it all. And one of the beauties of relationship is we learn from each other. You know, one of the greatest things we have as a family is we have conversations around the table and we ask ourselves, what did you learn today? Because the only day that's wasted is a day that you didn't learn something. Just because we make mistakes, just because we fail in maybe a certain arena on a certain project or a certain situation, it's really not a failure if we learn something. You know, I remember a testimony. I was sitting in a leadership conference one time, and one of the VPs of IBM, a senior level VP, had made a mistake, and the mistake was reported to have cost the company hundreds of thousands of dollars. And at an annual board meeting, the CEO was there with other board members, and they were talking about whether or not this individual, most of them believed he needed to be fired, he needed to be released. But the president said, "Listen, I just spent $300,000 educating that man. Why would I release him and pay for his education to benefit another company?" Now catch that. Now, that's a secular company. I don't even know if that man was a believer, yet there was a redemptive attitude in that man. And he, yeah, $300,000, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's nothing just to think, oh, that's nothing. No, that was some serious, costly mistake. Yet, if a man is willing to learn, if a person is willing to learn from their mistakes, then that mistake can be redemptive. That mistake can actually make us and position us to help others. And it's a day of growth. And again, a lot of times there's consequences. Sometimes we have to, you know, adjust, and we have to work some things out, because sometimes mistakes aren't just financial. It's not just a hard hit to our finances. Sometimes certain mistakes may cost jail time. I mean, just being as blunt as I can be, some mistakes cost more and cost in different ways than other mistakes. But even if a mistake costs jail time, and let's just go ahead and put the worst case scenario out there. Maybe you made a mistake, and that mistake not just costs you jail time, but you're going to do life in prison. Then let me give you a very real testimony from my own life. You know, for many years, we did prison ministry out of our church. A team from our church went, and we did a monthly service. They call it a call out at the maximum prison there in Kansas. And we would go in each once a month on a Saturday and basically do a church service for them. And, you know, a time of teaching, preaching, but a lot of prayer and ministry and fellowship with the men once a month. And we did that for nearly 18 years. And I remember there's a gentleman, And this gentleman would greet me at the door. Of course, they'd all greet us, but I'm thinking of one gentleman in particular, and I'm just going to mention his first name. His first name's Victor. Victor would meet me at the front door, and he'd shake my hand, and he would say, "Pastor, Pastor, thank you for coming." I mean, he was glowing. "Thank you for coming. Thank you for not forgetting about the body of Christ that is behind these walls. Thank you for coming and sharing the Word of God with us. Thank you for coming and praying with us." Something along those lines. He would always greet myself and all the team members and just show his appreciation and say thank you. And he was just glowing all the time. Well, one thing he would always say before he'd shake hands, before he'd let go, one thing he would always say, he'd say, "Pastor, can I give you my testimony?" I say, "Tell me, Victor, what's your testimony?" Now, the first time I heard it, totally caught me off guard and just wrecked me. But he did this every single time, 12 months out of the year, every year for all 18 years. He gave me his testimony every time he shook my hand and said that he, you know, appreciated us and thanked us. He said, "Can I give you my testimony?" And I said, "Sure, Victor, what's your testimony today?" He said, "I'm no longer a man in prison. I'm a man in Christ." I got to almost push back the tears just to even share that testimony, because it wasn't some trite phrase or trite statement or positive thinking. This man was living in a reality. Even though the consequences of his mistake, the consequences of his sin, the consequences of his rebellion to the law of God had put him not only in prison, but he was in prison for life. It did not mark him, because Christ had marked him. And he said, "Pastor, I'm no longer a man in prison. I'm now a man in Christ Jesus." And so I share that testimony with you because, again, he gave me that testimony every time we walked through those doors. And my heart was challenged. My heart was encouraged. And you can tell how it affected me, because here I am all these years later sharing that same testimony with you, because that's the heartbeat of this podcast, for men who have been marked by Christ. No longer are they marked by what used to define them. Now Christ has defined them. No longer do we find our value just in our vocation or our careers or our achievements or our hobbies or our accomplishments, but no, our value is established by the cross. And so we press into, like Paul, Christ likeness. In fact, you find the words of Paul in another letter he wrote. We were just reading Philippians. If you go back to Romans chapter 8, you'll see again why it is Christ likeness is our mark. It's the goal. In fact, other versions of Philippians 3 say press towards the goal. King James says press towards the mark. But Christ is the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. And of course, we're not doing it just in the flesh. This isn't just a self-help talk. This is supernatural conversation here today. We're having conversation according to the grace of God. We're having conversation today based upon the eternal truth of who God is to us and who God is in us, who Christ is to us, and who Christ is in us. And so here it is in Romans chapter 8. I wanted to share this with you. Verse 29, it says, "For whom God did foreknow," or he had foreknowledge of, "he also did predestinate." That means he prepared a destination. And what is that destination? "To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So right there, Romans 8:29, we see that Christ likeness is the goal. It's the destiny. It's your destiny. It's my destiny. And of course, we as men, we have an important role in community. We have an important role in our families. We have an important role in our generation. Women have their role, and it's a very important role. But this podcast, this conversation is to you, my brothers. And I want to share with you another scripture, another favorite scripture of mine, and it's in 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 15, and it's verse 49. Let me join you there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. You know, it talks about in this passage the two men, Adam and Christ, or Jesus, the last Adam. Jesus is called in Scripture the last Adam. There's Adam in the Garden of Eden, and then there's Jesus, the last Adam. And these are two very important men. So in a conversation with men, we definitely need to understand and relate, because we do relate to these two men. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, 47 says, "The first man is of the earth." We're talking about Adam here in the Garden of Eden. "Earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they which are of the earth. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. For just," verse 49, "for just like we bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." So did you catch that? We all can relate to the earthly man, Adam. You know, "For all have sinned," Romans declares. "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have sinned. And why did we sin? Because of our relationship and our identity and our heredity in the first Adam. See, when Adam started having kids or children, it wasn't in the garden in a sinless state. It was after he had fallen. It was after he and Eve had sinned. That's when children were first, you know, brought forth. Now, so every child after that was born into sin. It wasn't necessarily the choice that made them sinners. They were born into sin. They were sinners by nature, just like we all were born into this world. We had a sin nature. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to pout, to throw a fit, or get angry, or hide, or run, or blame. It's just in them. I mean, as soon as you confront them, "Did you eat the cookie?" "No." Did you hit your sister?" "No." Or they, "Well, she hit me first." I mean, it's just in them. It's just in us from birth. It's not even a choice. Now, we do make the choice and we're accountable for the choices, but there's a nature. There's a sin nature. We're born into sin. That's why John 3, Jesus said, we must be born again.
Wow, guys. We must be born again. What a supernatural gift that Jesus has given us as men so that we can lead our homes as he leads us. This is so powerful. Some great stuff being discussed. It is Sam here, and I just want to give you guys an opportunity to know how to get in contact with us if you wish to do so. So the easiest way to do that, first and foremost, is email us at spellmanministries@gmail.com. That is spellmanministries@gmail.com. And you can also check us out on social media. So we got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can check us out on there, Spellman Ministries. You can private message us on any of those platforms as well if you wish to get in contact with us that way. Thank you guys again so much for listening to the show. You guys, it's just such a blessing to know that so many men are getting encouraged by these. So let us get right back into the program.
And when we're born again, then we receive a new nature, so that this scripture can actually make sense. Just like we bore the image of the earthly man in our natural birth, we now bear the image of a heavenly man in our new birth. Glory be to God. I almost want to shout, but I'd probably blow your ears off if I did that. But I'm shouting on the inside. I hope you're shouting too, because that is powerful stuff. That just like we bore the image of the natural man, the man of dust, the man who sinned, and we were born into that sin. Now, through the new birth, through faith in Jesus Christ, and through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, now we can actually bear the image of the heavenly man. And so here it is, the podcast, the conversation, Marksman. We are aiming at Christ-likeness together. We want to bear the image of the heavenly man. Many times we look at Jesus and we see Jesus as our Redeemer, and He is. We look at Jesus and we see Him as our Savior, and He is. We look at Jesus and see Him as our Deliverer, and He is. We look at Jesus and see Him in all that He did in His life. Yet, many times, we sometimes fail to see He's also our example. Remember what it said in Romans 8? That among many brethren, in fact, let me go back to that scripture in Romans 8, in verse 29. Here's what it said. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now think about that. Jesus sees you and I as brethren, as brothers. Now let that sink in. Don't fight that. Don't resist that. Don't let a religious spirit think, oh, that's blasphemy. You know, he's Lord. Yes, He is Lord. The Lord of Lords. Oh, but He's the King. Yeah, He is the King. The King of the universe. But Scripture also says He's King of kings, and He's made us, Revelation 1, He's made us kings and priests unto our God. So it's so important that we allow our understanding of not just who He is, but who we are. In fact, it makes me think about Matthew chapter 16 when Peter, and I love Peter. Oh my goodness. I love Peter. I love the dynamic between him and Jesus. And I remember Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the question. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Well, a lot of ideas came out and people are saying this, people are saying that. He says, but who do you say that I am? Well, Peter, he just put it out there. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter then, Jesus then responded. Now, I'm saying Peter, it was of course Simon who was asked the question. Simon, son of Jonah, you know, who do men say that? And of course, I'm saying Peter, that's who Jesus called him, but I need to back up to get the story right. Simon then answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to Simon, and you are Peter. So in other words, he changed his name. He brought forth an identity of what he knew about Simon. And he actually changed his name. And he says, and now you are Peter or Petros. So he renamed him. He changed his identity. So, but I want you to catch the exchange that took place. First, Simon had a revelation of who Jesus is. And after he had a revelation of who Jesus is, then Jesus told him, Simon, who he really was. And that's how it is for you and I as men. That's how it is for you, you and I as sons of God. First, it starts with you and I getting a revelation of who Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God, is. And once we get a revelation of who He is, then He's going to start talking to us about who we really are. And He's going to change our identity. He's going to call us righteous. He's going to call us holy. He's going to call us that heavenly man. In fact, I want to take just a moment right now and just agree with the Spirit of God and agree with the work of grace in your life and my life and declare that if you have faith in Jesus Christ and you've received His redeeming work in your life and you've been marked by Christ, then I'm declaring you are a heavenly man. Yes, you bore the image of the man of dust, so did I. But you were born again, and so was I. And now we bear the image of the heavenly man. You are, I am, we are heavenly men. Now, I want you to see also the significance of this in Ephesians chapter 6. Again, this program today is largely also just sharing with you my heart for men, my heart for you, and why it is we're taking time to focus a conversation, a podcast just for men. Again, not really getting too specific on issues or topics. Really, these first few programs of Marksman, the podcast here, is really just kind of setting up the stage, so to speak, just setting the platform for the conversation. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and you'll see something here very powerful as we kind of work towards a close of today's conversation. Again, I want to thank you for being a part of the conversation. Thanks for tuning in. I hope, and my prayer is that not only is this blessing you, encouraging you, stirring you, but I want you to know you have a friend. I want you to know you have somebody who's praying for you, who believes in you. And again, I hope to hear from you. But again, I just want to pour out my heart and believe with you. And just like the scripture says, allow iron to sharpen iron. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, you'll see another reason why this is so important to me, so important to the Lord that we have this conversation as men. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, starting in verse 21 through the end of the chapter, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is giving instructions to family. And actually, because the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse, it actually goes right into chapter 6 when there's instruction to parents, there's instruction to employees or servants, and there's instruction to bosses or owners of business. And so the whole thing is the whole community dynamic, but starts with the home. And it begins in chapter 5, verse 21, and he speaks first to the wives, telling them, you know, how they're to honor and submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, that therefore, just like the church, verse 24, is subject to Christ, let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. And then verse 25, and he says, husbands, and I'm going to say this as I begin, there's a lot more detail given to men, given to husbands in this context, but given to men than he ever gave to the women. And so that should be a lesson in and of itself, that it's very important the role we play in our homes, the role we play in community, the role we play in our generation. But he speaks to husbands and he says, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Now that's his instruction to men. Love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now that phrase right there, a glorious church. You've probably heard that phrase before, a glorious church. You've probably heard that phrase in prayer, praying for the glorious church, that the glorious church would rise up, that the glorious church would be seen in our generation, that the church would rise up as a glorious church. Well, here's something very important. We cannot just surgically extract that phrase, a glorious church, out of its context. The context of a glorious church is strategically nested in the instructions that Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is giving to men regarding how they love their wives. And he says that a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, that it should be holy and that it should be without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. Now, I promise you, we're going to unpack this passage in a lot of detail in upcoming conversations. But all I'm trying to highlight in this mention today is the fact that we cannot think or even imagine a glorious church rising up without men, especially husbands, becoming the men they were called to be in their homes, specifically who they were called to be as husbands. We are kidding ourselves if we think there's going to be some glorious church rise up and husbands are not being the husbands Scripture commands them to be, that the Holy Ghost gives instructions to be. Now, don't take that as a condemning thought. Don't take that even necessarily as a corrective thought, but take it as the exhortation of Scripture that we have a vital role in the glorious church rising up. If you're married and you have a wife, regardless of how your marriage is, and in fact, if you want to know how your marriage is, ask your wife, and I'll leave that right there. A lot of times, men sometimes think their marriage is great and that their wife's so unhappy, and somehow we just always think, well, that's just their fault. But I don't want to get into this too deep. I just want to really help us to see that men becoming the men of God, husbands loving their wives as Scripture admonishes us to, is a vital part of a glorious church being seen in our communities. Whether that's the local church you're a part of, and I pray you're a part of one, or whether that's a global church, the world church, the body of Christ, the family of God around the world. It's going to require men rising up, husbands rising up, and loving their wives like Christ loved the church. And he further emphasizes it as he goes on, verse 30, because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. He's referring to Genesis 2:24 right there. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become, or shall be, one flesh. This, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So again, as we work towards a close, even closer to our close, let me just say this. Marriage has a mandate. Verse 32 gives us the mandate of marriage. It's to be a witness of what a covenant Christian really is. A Christian, a child of God, a son or daughter of God in covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See, we're called the bride of Christ. See, we're all, regardless of our gender, male or female, we're all part as believers in Christ, as his body, as his bride. We have been brought into his body to become one flesh with him. And so this image, Paul is saying by the Holy Ghost, should be evidenced by a godly marriage. Now, again, there's so many dynamics when we begin to unpack this. You know, a lot of times you have dynamics where one spouse is saved, one spouse is not saved, just all kinds of things. And we're not going to get into all those dynamics here today. I'm simply trying to highlight what Scripture tells us, that a glorious church is going to be the result of a glorious home, of a glorious marriage, of God's glory being in our homes. of God's glory being in our marriages, and to think that a glorious church will somehow mystically rise up because we have a great conference or we have great church services. No, all those things should help us have a glorious home. All those things should help us and equip us to have a glorious marriage, because when marriage is glorious and when the home is glorious, trust me, there will be in the world seen a glorious church. Amen. And so that's why this program comes to you. That's why this conversation's happening, because I want to see, just like you do, I want to see a glorious church. I want the world, I want my generation to see a glorious church. But the most important lives I'm influencing right now are not just you behind the listening side of this microphone, but it's the children I'm raising, the sons that I'm raising up. I don't have daughters. Maybe God will give me some granddaughters, but I don't have daughters. I got two sons. But even when we were pastoring, the most important members of my congregation were my sons. And when I say that, I'm, of course, including my wife. The most important members of our congregation were our sons. And so today, even as a man, the most important men I'm influencing, I pray that this is helping you. But I, at the end of the day, I live with my sons. I'm doing life with my sons. And I want to make sure that my life, through the example I'm giving them, whether it's the right example or the wrong example, that I repent of and they see the glorious transformation through repentance and grace and rising up and changing, that they see, hey, as men, as I make mistakes, God can forgive, God can redeem, God can change, God can transform, because none of us are perfect, but we're all being transformed by glory to glory, by grace to grace, and from faith to faith. So be encouraged today. I'm believing with you. I'm praying for you. If you're listening to this today, then you can rest assured I've prayed for you. My family's prayed for you. Kim and I, we've prayed for you. We're believing God with you as a man, as a husband perhaps, or certainly as a man, that you continue to press towards Christ likeness, knowing it's your destiny. And because it's your destiny, there's grace to reach the destination. God bless you today. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. And thank you for taking on the mission of love and to become love and to hit the mark, which is Christ likeness.